kingdom of God is like. A man scatters a seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Though he does not know how, all by itself the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows off, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. That day, when the evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves. "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?"
One more. All right, he did good, didn't he? Where it says that he didn't teach them anything without telling them a story or using a parable. But yet then again, later on, when he was with his disciples, those closest to him, he explained everything to them. See that? He explained everything to them. It's the same thing with you. He throws stuff out there. He's given us the word. He's throwing it out to the world, and he expects them to get it, to understand it. But if you really, really want to understand it, you need to come closer. You need to spend a little more time. How did you like about that seed parable, the mustard seed? What happens when you plant it? What's it do? It grows into a great big tree. And then what happens with the tree? What comes? The birds come, and they rest in its perch. That's a good thing, right? Why?
Birds are evil.
Birds are demons in the Bible. What's that saying? The church is filled with people who are evil. The church is filled with people who have no good intentions. Like I used to say, man, look, when Satan wants to do his best work, he doesn't need to go to the bar. He already owns that place. Where's he go? To the church. He's going to hit you right where it hurts because you're the one he cares about because you're the one that's thwarting him. So Jesus is in the boat. Things happen. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Okay? My grandson Cash had a little mishap this week. A big old 4x4 fell on him and hurt his toe. And he's on the mend. So just continue to pray for him. I love how you did that, buddy. That was good. As soon as I said that, he looked down like real sad, you know. Milk it, pal. Milk it. You might want to grab this offering plate and kind of walk around like this. I know he wants to. Yeah, there you go. Good deal. Who else do we want to pray for? I would like you to continue to pray at 9 o'clock every night. Still pray for this country. Still pray for Israel. We got bad news this week. Israel is having a forced election. They're all falling apart over there. They're having another forced election, their fourth one, I believe. And we already know the news of America. But continue to pray. But I want you to really focus mostly on this church and you. I want you to be selfish. This church and you. Okay? Because I don't want to explain it. Or I don't think you want to hear it. So we walk around and it gets all bottled up. It builds, and it builds, and it builds. This last week, I was sitting at home, relaxing, watching TV, when suddenly...
Wow.
That ever happened to you? Thank you. That was perfect, Jeff. That ever happened to you? I lighted a candle in the bathroom, and you know, when the wick gets down, I mean, I'm a candle fanatic now because I like, my wife loves them, so I care for them, and I bought all my girls' special wick trimmers that go down in and cut them. Well, this wick was about this tall, and what happens when a wick gets real big like that, it smokes. I didn't know it. I was in the other room, and all of a sudden I heard that sound. Isn't that irritating? Now, me being me, I just decided I'm going to ignore it. Can you ignore that sound?
No.
Can you continue to pay attention to what you're paying attention to when that sound is going on? No, you can't. I want to talk to you about warning signs, alarms, because we're going to deal with three of them today, as well as some other things along the road. The smoke alarm is a great invention. Years ago, as a matter of fact, my very first sales job was before I was a salesman. I got to work for a company that sold alarms, smoke alarms, heat detectors kind of a thing. It was a great thing. It was when they first came out, and it was very enjoyable to go around and tell people how I could save your life if you ever have a fire. Did you know, Jan? Did you know, Jen? Did you know, Diane? Did you know that if a fire breaks out in your mobile home, unattended to, you know how long it takes to completely engulf and burn up your place? 7 minutes. That's it. And so having a smoke detector is critically important because it's monitoring the air to find out what's really going on. Now, does a smoke detector have any emotions whatsoever? Did that smoke detector say to me, well, Casey's watching the TV show and he looks really engrossed. I might not really want to go off right now. Does it care? Doesn't care. It's got one job, and it's going to be to warn me. Danger, danger, look out, watch out, be careful. So the first thing I want you to do when you go home, I want you to check your detectors, make sure the batteries are fresh, because that usually tends to go bad after a while. But the smoke detector, while it warns us of a danger, we have our own built-in detectors as well. We have within our lives God-given detectors that help us along the way when there's a problem. One of them, and the most important one, is our emotions. How many of you going through this week after what we saw in the election process, how many of you ended up saying a few swear words? The rest of you are liars. Okay, no. We get upset. We get angry. Our emotions are warning signs to let us know that something is terribly wrong. They are the fire detectors, the smoke detectors of problems that are internal in our hearts. And I want you to understand as we're going through this that they also lead us to a way to get over and to heal from these negative, damaged emotions that are strongholds in our lives. I have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What did I just describe? The fruit of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit. When I'm walking in the Spirit, these are the things that you should be able to look at me and say, that guy loves Jesus. That guy has it all together. He's calm. Look at him. In the face of all this stuff, he's still peaceable. But when you see me doing this, is that godly? No. Now, what's that sign saying to me? When I'm afraid, when I'm angry, when I'm anxious, when I'm frustrated, when I'm mean, when I'm ugly, What's that point to? That is pointing in my life to an emotional stronghold in my life. I want you to understand that. A stronghold in my life. A stronghold is a place where Satan has come and taken root in your life, and he has recorded over and over and over and again, and he knows you so well, he has a track that he kind of puts in. Remember the old 8 tracks back in the day? You popped them and they just kept going and going and going. When it hit the end, it would start over. It never stopped. And that track continues to play because Satan is going to make sure it continues to play in your life. A stronghold is different than an addiction, because in the world, the word is addiction. In the church, the word is stronghold. What happens out there in the world of people who don't know Jesus, they do things differently to try to overcome the problem. Now, here's the biggest problem of all. An addiction says, I'm the victim. You got that? I'm a victim. I can't help how I am. I was abused as a child. I was beaten as a child. My mom didn't love me. My family broke up. My dad left. I was born in a Muslim country. Whatever. It presumes that there's a problem that was caused by somebody else, and that it's passed down by you, and you just can't help it. I'll never forget when I had Ron Hellstrom here, and we used to have this conversation all the time. I said, the biggest problem I have with you in AA is that you talk about it like it's some kind of a disease. Well, it is a disease. Well, I don't give myself cancer. Cancer comes. Now, maybe some things I do might cause. I don't want to go there. The point is he just wanted to continue to say that whole program was based, that particular program was based on, you just can't help yourself. God calls it a stronghold in the Bible. And a stronghold presumes a spiritual problem. Do you understand that? A stronghold says there's a spiritual problem here and God has the solution to it. When I'm walking around angry, or I'm driving down the highway and I'm angry and I'm cussing and I'm yelling or shaking a fist, then there is something wrong, and that's the alarm going off. Beep, 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 beep. Hey, there's something wrong here, dude. You need to get to the bottom of it. You can drift along with it, in which it's going to take you down the road in a direction you don't want to go. You can make a distraction for yourself. You can decide to watch a whole lot of TV or drink or eat or whatever you normally do to try to get away from it. But all of these things are just causes of continuing the problem down and kicking the can down the road. That stronghold is a signal, and God is saying to you, you need to stop now. Unfortunately, me, being me, I take my job seriously. How many times have I ever said to you, look, hey, whoa, 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 stop. Or, hey, turn around. Or, hey, go to the Word. Or, hey, you might want to think about this. Have I said that to any of you? Raise your hand. I want to make sure I'm doing my job. Good. I take my job seriously. Unfortunately, when I give that advice out, or when I say that to people, a lot of times I hear back, yeah, but you don't understand my problem. I don't need to understand your problem. That's not my job. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. My job is not to try to feel for you and get down into your pain and try to, you know, prescribe some kind of medication to make you feel better. Because feelings are not what it's about. You know, feelings don't have any intelligence, do they? I feel how I feel, how I feel. Don't tell me I'm not down, depressed, sad, upset, or angry, because that's what I am. The guy just pulled out in front of me in a Cadillac, and he's 85 years old, and it's really a she, because she's so small she can't see over. She's in the left speed lane. Ah, I'm angry. Address it. What do you do with that? Lately, I felt God kind of say to me, pull over into the right lane and slow down. I'm going to teach you how to be patient. I'll let you know how that's going so far. But I can tell you this, I'm learning. I'm tired of kicking myself against the goads. I'm tired of it. It doesn't work. And I was surprised this week at my reaction after the election. Remember what I told you? We in this church have done everything we possibly can to pray. We have. We did everything humanly possible we could do. So, excuse me, the outcome of the election has nothing to do with us, does it? We did what we were supposed to do. So this is what I want you to do. You know what? This country needs a wake-up call. The people in this country who've grown up in this country especially, who are supposed to be smarter than they are, who's supposed to be looking to Jesus Christ, of whom this country is based upon, whom they're reaping the benefits of loving God and being a country that looks to Him for answers, and they're not. What's God going to do? And say, I'm sorry, you're going to get what you deserve. And what's going to happen to we people who are looking to Him? We're going to be just fine. Because look in the Bible. It's happened over and over and over and over and over. Except for, like I said, that emasculation thing with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach. You know, we can get over that too. Look, I'm in a bubble. I don't know about you. I'm in a bubble. My whole family is in a bubble. We're doing just fine. God has taken care of us because you know why? I'm doing what He says to do. He doesn't want you mad. He doesn't want you going out and starting a revolution. He doesn't want you going out killing people. Right, Galen? No, it doesn't. I told you, you showed up today, you're going to get picked on.
It's a fact.
I'm using him as an example, and he's going to come along. Don't worry. He's my pal. I love him. We teach each other all the time. But look, he's the one that, he's my redheaded stepchild. Look, I want you to be peaceful. I want you to be loving. I want you to not carry this stuff around with you. There's no point in doing it. The emotions are feelings, and when they're out of whack, they give you a signal, and it goes beep, 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 beep. And that is supposed to say to you, something is wrong with your heart. Not, oh, it's okay, I'm justified in how I feel. Yes, you may be feeling angry, depressed, and sad, but you need to do something with Christ to get over that, because He doesn't want you that way. Do you understand that? Do you get that? It's critically important we understand that our stronghold is something that God wants to fix within our lives. God already knows what's going on. We've done everything we possibly can, even as a nation. We are outnumbered. We had a situation down here, and I really kind of fully expect that we're going to have more of them. I think this last Friday was the first time we had as many people screaming, hollering things at us. One guy came out and got in my face and started talking to me about how you Trump people. And I'm like, I don't even have a Trump sticker around here. But then he brought up the whole idea how, you know, we just don't see the light of day. You know, they need to make that president impeach him. I'm going, he's going to be in office in 2 weeks.
Boy, his guilt is heavy, isn't it?
It's like, dude, you know, no, he didn't feel any guilt whatsoever. They're angry, bitter people. And they're not, they don't know how to lose gracefully. This guy was so angry, he once said, I said, he'll be out in 2 weeks. Let it go, dude. Relax. Chill. Sit in your armchair. But then he started giving me business, and I said, look, okay, well, now he pushed my button. I was being kind, I was being sweet. I said, let me tell you something. God does not appreciate people like you killing babies. Do you know there were 42 million babies killed last year around the world? 42 million people killed around the globe.
And 80 million in the U.S. and 60.
And he said this, yeah, it's a woman's right to choose. And I said, you're a murderer. Oh, and you're an idiot too. I'm sorry, I lost it. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I'm working. As soon as I said it, God went, remember the words come out of your mouth and how you feel are smoke detectors to tell you there's something wrong. So I still have some work to do.
We all do.
And we're not done, but we better be moving forward. Because we're going to lose if we continue to try to do things the old way. Do you understand that? We are outnumbered. What do you think is going to happen now? Paint the picture. I'll tell you, it's going to get tough. But you know what? We're not concerned about tough. Look at the disciples that were in the boat. I love the story that Max read. Did he do a good job?
Yeah.
I said to him, Max, I want you to slow down, speak succinctly, and just give some of those words some emotion. And he did. Could you imagine? Jesus is in the boat, and he's teaching the masses of the crowd. The people have gotten so close that they want to get closer and closer and closer until he hits the water, and he has nowhere to go. And so he asks Peter, and he brings his boat, and he gets in the boat and teaches from the shore. You know why? Because nobody wants to get their feet wet. So he's teaching all day long. And he's teaching them in parables, teaching them stories. And finally, he turns to the disciples and says, got business on the other side of the Galilee. Let's go yonder. And it says they took him as he was. Did you catch that? They took him as he was. Now, what's that mean? He had been teaching all day long. Did he have a change of clothes with him? Nope. Did he have a Happy Meal stuck in a sack? No. Did he have provisions? Did they have provisions? No. He was tired. He was worn out, but he had business, and God was calling and letting him know, get across the lake. And it said that there were other boats around him. Did you catch that? And they started to follow. Now, this is interesting because we don't know, but we can speculate. And you pick whichever end you like. There were other boats with him, and they started to follow because this guy's really amazing. And we've heard he'd done some great miracles, so I have some needs over here. Maybe if I catch up with him alone out in the ocean or on the lake, maybe he'll do something nice for me. It doesn't say that they followed him all the way across. We don't know if they did. I doubt it. I think the storm came up for two reasons. Number one, Satan did it, I believe. Because Satan is the one who comes in the dark. Because it was evening time. He always liked to do his business in the dark, doesn't he? When the world is closing in on you and things are looking like, oh no, I'm trapped, I don't know where to go, it's dark in here, what do I do? That's Satan is going to be knocking on your door next. So it was nighttime. It was scary. Plus, he knows who's in the boat. Satan knows that God is in the boat. And what's he want to do with him and all his little disciples? Kill him. If I can take him out here in the middle of the lake, I don't have to worry about him anymore. But I think God allow it just because his son's in control. He knows what he's doing. He knows what's going to happen. He can handle anything. And I think that storm coming up like that just all of a sudden kind of sent those other boats back home. They call these things, these storms, these quick storms over there called what? Sharkia. Sharkia. Sharkia, and you will get this in the women's group, trust me. When they get together, they talk about cool, deep stuff that you go, wow, that's really neat. The Sea of Galilee, and I've been on it. It's a great place when the sun is shining, the glassy surface is nice. But they have mountains all around, and they have valleys that come through to it. And those valleys, the wind can come down at any moment, whip through those valleys, and churn that sea into an unbelievable nightmare. That's what they call that. That wind, sudden, boom, danger. Furious squall. Whoosh. They call them a Sharkira? Sharkia. Sharkia. Think shark and a Kia. Okay. That's a great picture. Comes up. Now, these guys are fishermen. They make their money, they make their living on the water. They are fishermen. And they wake up and they're like, what are we going to do now? Apparently, the water has come over. Have you ever been in a boat where the water waves were coming up over the side of the gunwales? Yeah. Ooh, man, that's a little nerve-wracking. I don't know if they had scuppers back then. They have them now. But, you know, the problem is that what are we going to do? So they look around, and you can tell they're panicked because Jesus has trusted them since they're fishermen. They know what they're doing. But they're at their wits' end. They don't know what to do. So their stronghold reminder goes off. Beep, 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 beep. What are they going to do? Well, we happen to know this guy. He's sound asleep. I don't know how that is, except it's God. When a boat's going up and down like that, I'm too busy throwing up to worry about, you know, trying to sleep. It's going up and down. He's sound asleep in a boat. And so Peter goes over and Master, hey, a little hand here. Did you kind of notice we're in trouble? Aren't you afraid we're going to die? What didn't wake him, the storm, got reversed when Peter nudged him because he cares about those people close to him. And he woke up then, and he stood up, and he shouted, it says, "Peace! Be still!" And instantaneously, didn't surprise Jesus at all. But every one of those disciples in the boat were freaked right out. And Jesus went over and went back to sleep, apparently. Did he snore? I don't know. But they kind of got in the other end of the boat and they start talking amongst themselves. You know, like the church is supposed to do. Who is this guy that commands the wind and the waves? They're in shock. How many times in your life has Jesus done something like that for you? Were you in awe? Do you even remember it anymore? Because I remember them. I remember the times he's pulled me out of the fire and gotten me out of troubles when I should have been done. I remember those times. Because you know what? It's important to remember. He doesn't need to be keeping reminding me. I'm not in kindergarten anymore. I'm a grown-up guy. I'm supposed to be mature. I'm supposed to be saying to the younger ones, come on, it's okay. It's okay. You're going to be fine. Yeah, Max, it's all right. You can stand up and speak louder, even though you feel a little bit insecure. Nobody here is going to judge you, Max, because we love you and we want your growth. We want you encouraged. We want you to be doing well and getting better. You got that? Yes. That's our job. Why aren't you in church? Well, you don't understand. Yeah, I do. You're an idiot. We need each other. Amen. We need each other. And I'm telling you, I told you before and I'm telling you again, these churches around the country and around this town and around the world that have closed because of this virus, they have taken a drastic step in the back room. They have left. They have left the building. And God is saying, what are you going to do? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? What are you doing? Does that mean that we're not to be concerned? No! This is a real deal. We're supposed to be careful. But we don't let it rule our lives. I love Jesus Christ. He is my personal Lord and Savior. And I can only envision coming up in Easter, as I get closer, I try to put myself in his life to realize what he went through. He was abandoned. He was taken captive. He was beaten harder and worse, the Bible says, than any human being. He didn't even look like a man when they were done with him. And then they nailed him to a cross and he suffered and died a horrific, embarrassing death. For me. Well, I'm sorry, Jesus. What you're asking me is just a little bit too hard. Grow up. Because God is calling the world, and this country especially, look at me. You better look at me. You better be looking at me, because what's coming is judgment. I'm telling you, because as long as you hang on to your addictions and continue to demand and desire things your own way, you're going to continue to see more and more and more problems. But you people in my church who say you love me, you watch how I get you through this. You're going to be so far ahead of everybody else. Just stay in the boat with the Savior. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Stay in the boat with the Savior. Even if he seems like he's sleeping, not paying attention, he's got you. You know it, I know it. I have never been abandoned by him. He's always come through. And I'm going to stay that way until the day I die. And my job is to make men and women who feel and move and live and look at Jesus Christ the same way I do. And if you want an example, look at my family. Every one of them loving Jesus Christ, moving forward, growing up kids who love Jesus Christ, moving forward. Look at the church members who are sitting in the chairs around you. Tough people who love Jesus Christ and they're raising their family to do the same thing. Somebody sent me, I don't remember who it was, one of my kids. You worry about raising kids in a generation in a time frame that's so bad now? Don't be. Thank God that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. God is helping you raise your kids for a specific purpose in the time of today. They will face challenges you might never have faced, but you will prepare them to stand up and proclaim Jesus Christ. Don't be scared. Stand up. Do what you're told to do. It's going to get tough. Wah. I don't care how tough it gets. It's going to happen, but I'm going to rest in the Savior, and I'm expecting and hoping you do too. I want you telling you people who aren't here, where were you? What's going on? I know it look a little weird when I'm out there in my faith, like I said this morning. When I go out there into the world, people look at me like I'm nuts. And I don't even have to be not wearing a mask. They think I'm nuts already. Right, Lydia? Went to the doctor's this week, and I just wanted to give Lydia a hug. And everybody went, can I give you a hug? And everyone went, I didn't realize it was that bad, man. Look, I got a nose picking problem. I like to pick my nose because I get these hard, crusty boogers get up in there, you know. I like to get after them, you know. And the way I look at it, they always say masks may help you. They don't say they guarantee that. Isn't it amazing? Everybody who's getting COVID is wearing masks. Yeah. But they say they may help, you know, but I'm a nose picker. And I know if I'm putting my mask on, taking it off all the time, I'm touching my face and I'm picking my nose, I'm going to be in trouble. So I just avoid all that. I say, don't pick your nose. Don't pick your nose. Don't pick your nose. Put on a hand sanitizer. Don't pick your nose. If you want to pick your nose, wash your hands, put on hand sanitizer, then pick your nose. We always have to come up with a way, right? I am not going to be afraid. I'm going to stand up for Christ. I'm going to stand for what's right. Last night I went up to that Chinese place. Have you been there yet again? I'll tell you what, crazy. It was yesterday. It was crazy, man. I called and said, it'll be 15 minutes, 15 minutes, 15 minutes. I'm there, well, man, okay, because they're fast. And I got up there and it was a line out the door. And I went, I knew it wasn't going to take long before this place is packed. And she said, not ready, not ready, not ready. This little girl and her mom, they moved down here from up near Gainesville, Ocala, because of the school district up here. I wanted to say, well, I'm really sorry. But, but neither here nor there, this gal's only in high school. This little gal, she's real shy. I said, not ready, it's not ready, it's not ready. And all these people are standing around somewhere. They're striking up conversation. I'm saying, oh yeah, I'm waiting. Who's going to be next? Who's going to hit the lottery next? Whose phone number is going to come up, you know? They're all wearing masks, some not. Guy walks in, he's got a Honda shirt on, so I strike a conversation. What kind of Honda do you have? He goes, I don't have one. He's a fake Honda guy. Come on, man! This lady walks in, waltzes right up there, and she says, I'm here for my order. Not me. Well, I'm going to go outside and wait. How am I going to know it's done? And this little girl's like. And she said, I asked you, how am I going to know it's done and ready? I'm going outside to wait. Are you going to come out and get me? And that was it. And my button was pushed. I said, hey, why don't you walk in and check once in a while and leave the girl alone?
What was her response?
I'm Batman. I just couldn't stand that little girl getting beat up anymore.
You see so much of that.
All of a sudden, this lady, she's like, yeah, well, you're not wearing a mask. And I said, I don't care. You're rude. She waited. She finally got her order. She walks out. And naturally, because I saw in the back she was from New York. That's what it said. It was New York on the back of the thing. And she goes, got anything else to say? And I said, good night, queen. You know, I don't know what. I'm sorry. I'm still learning. I say, I'm fine, yes, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine, yes, I'm fine, but I'm not. I'm broken. But I belong to Jesus. And I have you to help me and shape me and sharpen me. And when you don't come, I'm mad at you. Who do you think you are to hold from me the support and help that I need, the encouragement that I need to get stronger in the Lord? Who do you think you are stepping out on Jesus when I need you? And you can say that very thing to the people who are supposed to be here. Who are you? You abandoned me. You left me. We sharpen each other. We make each other better. I had a joy of my life. I mean, I want to tell you something. When your kids do stuff, it's really cool. You know, I went to the doctor's office the other day, and I didn't know this gal. She goes, "Are you Calla's dad?" And I went, like, is that a crime? Yeah. And this gal goes to church with my daughter up there in Lakewood Ranch. And she goes, she starts bragging and going on and on and on and on and on. And I'm like, yeah, I know. She's my daughter. I've got three more just like her. But she just couldn't stop. She was overwhelmed by her faith and the kindness that she is, which all my kids are. And then I got a call that night at 9 o'clock at night. It's my son, Clint. He didn't realize he was going to be driving that Prius as much as he thought he would. Being a harbor pilot now, he has to actually schedule his own ships. So he has 2 years, and he has to get so many ships going in and out, learning how to pilot to drive these ships in and out. It's a really, really tough job and a big responsibility. But he has to drive to the ship, and if they let him off on one ship and he comes into another port, he has to find some way to go get his car. It's crazy. It's a good thing he bought that Prius, though, because he's burning up the miles. Clint McKay, macho, I do what I want, years ago, has said, man, I'm glad I bought that Prius. Go figure. He called me at 9. He was so excited. He says, Dad, you're not going to believe it. I said, what, son? He said, I just drove a 700-foot-long ship all the way out underneath the Skyway Bridge by myself. I said, what? He's only been there a week. Apparently, the gal that's third, there's a gal that's like third in position from the top of the harbor pilots, the ones who have been there a long time, the trainers. He got in there and she said, want to drive? He said, are you kidding me? Yeah. So here he is for 4 hours driving this ship through this. And they only got like 3 feet on each side of clearance, you know. And he was so proud. And then he told me this. He said, tomorrow I'm going to be bringing in a Mosaic ship. Now, Mosaic is the company that my son, other son, Colt, is in charge of the worldwide shipping. He's going to be bringing in a ship where his brother is in charge. He's bringing a ship in there. And I said, oh, that is so exciting. He said it because he was proud, because it was his brother. So last night I texted Colt after we're watching the Bucks. Come on, win. Come on, win. Did you see Tom Brady screaming if any of you watched it? I know some of you don't watch it because of that. But Tom Brady's getting mad. He's screaming at people like I scream at you. Catch the ball! I mean, hit you in the chest. What do you want? Catch the ball. You're paid to do one thing. So I texted Colt and I said, am I right that Clint was supposed to help bring in one of your ships this week? You know what he's texted back? Clint is going to be bringing in all of my ships. It's not what you do, it's who you know. His brother has been helping him all along. And you can be sure that his brother is going to be out there pulling all the strings he can to help his brother be the top pilot that he can be. And if his son, if his brother screws up, he's going to let him know. But he's going to give him ample opportunity because he knows this guy can do the job. Real quick, I'll give you two more sensors. When darkness comes, when the smoke alarm goes on and there's too much smoke, what else comes on with it? A light, right? Somebody came up here the other day at Flap and they said, hey, how come your parking lot light isn't on? And I want to go, what do you mean, my parking lot? It's our parking lot. I don't know. It sometimes it works, sometimes it's on a photo cell, dude. It needs to be fixed. Are you asking me why I haven't fixed my photo cell? But a photocell does that. When it gets dark, it hits a point when the darkness moves in, the light goes on. Boom! Just like that. Did you ever notice that Jesus Christ is like that? The Holy Spirit is there all the time. And when it gets dark, you can be sure that if you're just patient, when it gets dark, what are you going to know for sure? The light's going to go on. Bink! Pay attention when the light goes on. And it goes where it leads, okay? Go where it leads! The other kind of sensor is one of those motion things. I just went to the bathroom one time, and I forget where I was, but I was at some place that is where you walk in, and they had the motion sensor. When you walk in, bink, the light goes on, you know. And I went in, and I don't want to give you this bad visual, but it helps for the story. You know, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, boop, the light went out. I guess I wasn't moving. And I'm like, what do I do now? You're going to hell. Okay, look. When the light goes on, you must keep moving. God does not work unless you are moving towards Him. He's not going to get under you, pick you up, and carry you. He shows you the light. He says this way. He says, walk in it. And as long as you're walking, there will be more truth. But if you are not learning the truth that He just gave you, He is not going to give you any more. How many of you understand that if you don't learn a lesson of what your emotional strongholds are tearing you up, if you do not learn how to control those things, they're going to continue to replay over and over and over and over. Satan's going to make sure. He already knows your weakness. He's just going to keep flashing it up. So you can try to dodge it. You can try to get around it. You can scurry it. You can try to depress it. You can try all kinds of things. But God is saying, look, you're grown up in me. You are spiritual now. You're my kid. Deal with it. It's going to be hard. Clint's going to be working for 2 years almost, probably every day. Maybe once in a great while, he might get some time off. He sleeps when he's en route to somewhere, not behind a Prius. It's hard. That means Angela's going to have to watch those kids all the time and not get much help. It's hard. But to do hard things mean you're going to step up and you're going to get the reward, but you got to do it first. Don't be a butt person. Don't be a well, or don't you understand? Don't be one of those people who hide out whines and cries and moans. Look, we already know it's going to get worse. It doesn't have to get worse for you. Jesus has never lost you. He's got you every step of the way. Be joyful. Let's pray. Father God, I want to walk with you. Please help me to hear clearly when the alarm goes off. Help me hear and to recognize what stronghold is in my life that you're telling me you want me to deal with. Help me to be encouraging to people. Less angry with the people who are out there who voted not the way I was, and more upset with the people who aren't in the church when they should be. We need to be after believers. We need to be out there telling people the good news, because it's going to get worse for them too. They're going to need Jesus. Help us to be faithful. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I like this song. We've sung it before. The band sang it before. And it's going to kind of put a on top of where we have been. Go ahead, Mike. Oh, I got to hit this button.
Desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear. There is only one foundation we believe.
I was gonna say this, but I'm not wrong.
We believe.
Four.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus
Christ. Be ready to read that.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe.